in the 20th sloka, if the worldly pain has to be rejected or given up, right? People want to, they want to give up pain. Nobody wants to keep pain. If worldly pain has to be rejected or given up, it is possible only when the worldly pleasures are also given up. That is the condition. We are all willing to give the worldly pain, but that is possible completely only when we are able to give up worldly pleasure also. And that is the actual, you know, problem in terms of how to deal with giving up pleasure also, right? Because pain and pleasure are always inseparable. Because for the short duration we have pleasure, we don't think that there could be a pain associated with that later perhaps. But they are both inseparable, like the two sides of any coin. They are always there. So either we have to invite both or we have to reject both. We cannot say partially I will reject only pain and keep pleasure with myself. That is not possible. So then a person may have a doubt what he can have. In the name of giving up worldly pain, I have to give up worldly pleasure also. Then what will be the condition of my heart? Right? There is no emotion now. It has no pain. There is no pleasure. So it will be like pain will go away. But will I not have ananda also will not be there. Pleasure also is gone. So I will be without ananda also. So it becomes like a vacuum condition of the mind. Right? One may ask that question. So in people, many times what happens, many people, they want ananda. Everybody wants pleasure, ananda. That is why even though pain is there, they don't mind. Right? To get, for example, if you want on the black, whatever, Black Friday or day, people go to the line, what, early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, so much of pain. It may be snow day, no snow day, wait for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. To get, they get, they sell some TV or something. My nephew bought it for very $380, 52-inch TV. So much of pain, right? For that pleasure, to get the 52-inch TV, so much of pressure is gone. After coming home, after 2 months or 1 month, that croaks. So that pleasure is only short-lived. We should be able to expect for that. We are willing to go through any amount of pain, thinking that we are going to get some pleasure. So that is why everybody goes through that. There is no exception to that thing. So many people want ananda, they want pleasure. That is why even though the pain is there, they do not mind it. Because they want that in such a pleasure. So for the sake of pleasure, they are willing to undergo pain. They are willing to drive through, you know, 2 hours to New York, get stuck in the traffic, all that thing, to go to an opera. Right? Again, go through the same pain to come back also. For that, whatever, one hour pleasure. So how can I be, you know, without pleasure? That is a question. How can I be without pleasure at all? In fact, the urge for living itself is for what? We get a pleasure, ananda. I get shanti, I think. So that's what I live even for. So if I give up both worldly pleasure and pain, then I will have a vacuum in the mind. Then what should I do? That people might ask that question. And Krishna says that is a wrong assumption. That is wrong. That kind of a doubt should not arise. When you give up worldly pleasure, the anatma sukham, when we say worldly pleasure, what does it mean? It is a sukham of atma or anatma? It is anatma sukham. When you give up pleasure, you are giving up anatma sukham. The heart is not going to be empty. We think it may be a vacuum condition for the heart. No. When you give up anatma sukham, the heart is not going to be empty, it is going to be filled up with what? Atmananda. It is not going to be Vishayananda, it is going to be Atmananda, it is not vacuum anymore. So if you have Atmananda, then why this Atmananda did not come till now? It would have come now. Why should I go here and there looking for Ananda? Right? Atmananda would have, why it does not come? Because there was no place. You were trying to fill that heart with all the Vishayanandas. When the heart is full of Vishayanandas, it has no space for Atmananda at all. It cannot enter there because Vishayanandas dominate. Our dependency on things to gain pleasure, that dominates. So it doesn't allow the Atmananda to enter. It doesn't allow, enter means what? It doesn't allow us to realize Atmananda. Atmananda is not entering from anywhere. As I told you many times, it doesn't allow us, it masks, it camouflages the Atmananda as such, as it were. So, because of that, when the mind is emptied of all these Vishayanandas, then Atmananda can be seen. That is what is said here. Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma. So that jnani, that evolved wise person, whose mind is not attached to external sense objects. Bahya means external. So when his mind is not attached to any external sense object, sparsha, sparsha refers to objects. Sprushyante iti sparsha, objects of sense contact, anything contacted by me through sense organs. They are all these objects. Asakta, asaktaha, not attached. Saktaha, asaktaha. When this jnani, when he is not attached to any pleasure or anything coming with sense objects, atma, atma means here mind, not Sachidananda atma, asakta atma, the mind when it is not attached to those things. So that person whose mind is not attached to the external objects of contact, for that person, sukham vindati, certainly he attains ananda. Sukham he gets. When his mind is not attached to external objects, he definitely gets sukham. Then we may be wondering how this person can get sukham. Because we think Atmananda, Ananda has to come only from outside. That is our perception. We always think Ananda has to come from outside. It has to come from music. It has to come from cinema. It has to come from food. It has to come from relationship. It has to come from games. Whatever it is. So we always think Ananda has to come from some external source. So if we shut all these sources of happiness, how can I be happy? That is the question you might ask. So Krishna says, there is another source of Ananda. You do not know that. It is Atmani. Atmani, that Sukham which is in the Atman. So that is the source of Ananda. All these other sources of Ananda are all impermanent. They are all transient. They are all not permanent. So this is the permanent happiness. So he has shut off the Anatma Sukham, giving room to Atma Sukham. That is what this Jnani has done. He has shut off all external, you know, entries, which are misconceived as sources of Ananda. He shut off all of them. So, yet sukham atmani asti. Atmani means, we have to understand, atmani asti, tat sukham vindati. So, that sukham, that pleasure associated with atma sukham, that atma sukham he gains. And the same thing he explains it further. Saha brahma yoga yukta atma. Here we have to remember that mere attachment, mere detachment from anatma, that alone is not adequate. For example, I say, I want to detach from anatma. Everything, I have nothing to do with them at all. That alone is not adequate, because mere detachment from anatma, what will happen? I will come to a blank state again. Because everything I am detached, then what? I am detached with everything. To get Atma Ananda, what I should know first? I should be established in Atman. It is not just knowing that I have to disconnect with everything. I should be first established in Atman. Then only detaching from the others would be easy for me. I will be able to do that. Right? So, Atma Jnanam is necessary to get Atma Ananda. So, that is the requisite. If you want to get Atma Ananda, I should get first Atma Jnanam. It is generally what, like what they give the example. For example, now Swamiji gives, a poor person, let us say a very poor person, he got a treasure down, he is sitting somewhere, beneath him he has a treasure, a huge treasure is there, a lot of money is there, whatever it is, but this person doesn't know. He goes on begging, he gets money from outside, this, that and all those people. Then I go tell him, no, don't beg, don't ask money from anybody else. I tell that, what does it help him? Still he has to know that treasure is underneath. Then only he will realize, right? So all these other things are mere telling you, don't do that, cut off from all the Vishayanandas, all that thing, that is fine. But it doesn't still help him. He has to know Atma Jnana. So here as the person has to know the treasure underneath, that has to be told to him somewhere, or he has to find it himself, then only he will not think that he has to depend on external sources. So a hidden treasure is not useful. So also, hidden Atmananda also is not useful. Person should be able to realize it. So if I have got Atmananda to enjoy it, then what should I do? I have to remove the covering. I have to remove the covering, which is in the form of what? In the form of ignorance. In the form of ajnana. Self-ignorance is the cover. I should remove that. So stop borrowing, dig for the treasure and enjoy the wealth. That's what this person has to do. Okay? Then only you can enjoy it. So similarly, stop worldly pleasures. Dig for the Atman. Means what? Knowing. Sravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. All those things you have to go through. And find the inner Ananda that is there in you. Then you will cut off from every other thing. That's one of the tendencies all the time. And that is what they said here. Saha, Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma. Saha, that person who is ever absorbed in Atman or Brahman. Brahma Yoga Yukta Atma. The one who is ever established, who is always, you know, absorbed in Atman or Brahman. Yogaha here refers to absorption. The one who never forgets Brahman. I told the word yoga in Bhagavad Gita has to be understood in different ways, in different contexts. Here it is the one who is absorbed, the one who never forgets Brahman in and through all his vivaharas, in and through all his transactions. This person never loses track of Brahman. His expressions, we saw that sloka earlier, you know, sarvatra brahma darshanam, that person, that is called Brahma Yoga. Here Brahma Yoga means sarvatra brahma darshanam. You see Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havigi, Brahma Agno, Brahma Nahutam. We saw all those shlokas earlier. So this person looks at only everything as Brahman. Yukta Atma. Yukta Atma. Here also Atma means mind, not Satchidananda Atma. Atma is mind. So the one whose mind is endowed with Brahma Darshanam. Brahma Darshanam, the vision of Brahman under all conditions. That should be unconditional. Under all conditions, this person has Brahma Darshanam. Sukham Ashnute. Certainly attains the sukha, the pleasure, Atmananda. Ketas. So both the lines are talking about the same jnani. In the first line, jnani is detached from the anatma. That was mentioned. First line of the shloka mentions the detachment of the jnani from anatma. And in the second line, jnani is established in atma. That is mentioned. So both are required. So both are referring to the same jnani alone. So Bahyasparsheshu asaktatma brahma yoga yuktatma sukham vindati. That is how we should understand. And from where does he get the sukham now? Atmani. Atmani means from Atman itself. It is not externally, from Atman itself. Okay, how much sukham is there? And how many days will that sukham last? That question will come. Krishna says, akshayam. That sukham, Atma sukham, is akshayam, is inexhaustible. It is not, it is indepletable, right? Kshayaha means depletion or exhaustion. This is indepletable. Actually, we would have heard in Mahabharata, Draupadi had the Akshaya Patra, right? It will go on giving the food. So Akshaya Patra it is, there is no limitation how much it will give. But that Patram has a condition. That Akshaya Patram, that has a condition. Once Draupadi turns it upside down, then it will not give anymore. That day is over. The next day only he has to wait, right? Whereas here Atma Sukham, no such, not even that condition is available. It is ever available all the time. Atma is Akshaya Patram, giving Ananda, Ananda all the time, unconditionally. That is Atma Sukham, difference between that Akshaya Patram and this Akshaya Patram. If this is unconditionally, it will give all the time the Sukha. Yehi samparshaja bhogah.
Yehi samparshaja bhogah. Yehi samsparshaja bhogah.
Dukkhayonaya evate.
Dukkhayonaya evate. Dukkhayonaya evate.
Yehi samsparshaja bhogah. Dukkhayonaya evate.
Yehi samsparshaja bhogah. Dukkhayonaya evate. Yehi samsparshaja bhogah. Dukkhayonaya evate.
Adyantavanta Kaunteya.
Adyantavanta Kaunteya. Adyantavanta Kaunteya.
Nateshuramate Buddha.
Nateshuramate Buddha. Nateshuramate Buddha.
Adyantavanta Kaunteya. Nateshuramate Buddha.
Adyantavanta Kaunteya. Nateshuramate Buddha.
So incidentally here Krishna talks about some sadhanas in this shloka and the next shloka. The main topic is what? Vidvat sannyasa. We already saw that earlier. Jnana, karma, sannyasa or vidyat sannyasa or jivan mukta. That's what vidvat sannyasa is, a jivan mukta. which started from the 13th shloka onwards. We already saw that earlier. But while talking about Vidvatsanyasa, incidentally, in these two shlokas, 22 and 23, Krishna talks about a sadhana, and that sadhana is Vairagya. Vairagya, that's what he is talking about here. Because in the previous shlokas, it was said, Jnani gets ananda from the Atman itself. That's what we saw in the Patmani. We saw that in the previous shloka. Jnani gets ananda from Atman itself. Because he rejects ananda from the external world. Because he rejected ananda from the external world, he got ananda from Atmani, from Atman itself. So, Bahyas Parsheshum Asaktatma. We saw that earlier. He is not interested in Bahyas Parsha at all. He is not interested in external contacts. He has no intention for anatma sukham at all. Then one may think that the jnani is not very much in an advantageous position at all. People might think, why? Because jnani gets atma sukham for doing what? For rejecting anatma sukham. Right? Jnani, you know how we are trying to argue here? First he said reject anatma sukham. So, jnani rejected anatma sukham. Now, in place of that, what he got? Atma sukham. So, by rejecting anatma sukham, jnani got atma sukham. Now, who is a jnani? The one who has atma sukham and does not have anatma sukham, worldly pleasures, sensual pleasures, that we call him a jnani generally, right? One who has atma jnanam, atma sukham, he has, does not have sensual pleasures at all. And who is an ajnani? He is the one who has anatma sukham, but no atma sukham. Right? He has anatma sukham, but no atma sukham. What is the difference between these two? He has anatma sukham, jnani has atma sukham. Sukham is sukham. Right? He has got, and then why we say jnani is better? Krishna says, a fool, it is not so. Replacement of anatma sukham with atma sukham, it will not make a difference only when if both are equal. If both anatma sukham and atma sukham are equal only, replacement of one with the other will not make a difference. But for example, if one is $10 worth, another is $100 worth, then you replace that with that, what do you gain? So that is what this sukham is. Anatma sukham and atma sukham, that is how you should understand. So if anatma sukham and atma sukham are of the same nature, then we can say both may be the same. He got anatma sukham, so both have sukham, both have pleasures, no problem. But Krishna says, anatma sukham is not sukham at all. He is even very categorical. At least $10 has some worth. He has no worth at all for anatma sukham, so Krishna says. So, who said it is sukham at all? That's the question. Who said anatma sukham is at all sukham? It is not pressure at all in any way. Because compared to other pain, the lesser pain seems to be pleasurable. That's what we normally do. We normally think. For example, when the gas price was, you know, when we came here, it was 86 cents, 50 cents, 70 cents and all. Now it is 375, 350, whatever it is. When it went to $4 and came down to 370, we say? Gas is cheaper. That's a momentary, yeah. Gas is cheaper today, right? That's what we think. So this is how mind, you know, relates to things like that. For example, if you take, I came from Madras now, right? In India, in Madurai and all these places, 14 hours, 16 hours power cut. 16 hours, and we don't even know when the power will come. And when power comes, everybody is happy. Our power has come. It is going to go away in another 1 hour. Right? But we are happy. We think that 16 hour power we have already taken. Okay, that's fine. That's life. Right? So this is what we think. So when that 1 hour power comes, we are very happy. Because we think there is less pain compared to the larger pain. That's what we all think. So when compared with once in 3 days of power cut, 1 day, you know, if you gain power 1 day, it's a big sukha. That's what we say. So we have only comparison of pains. That's what we do. When we say sukham, when we say happiness, what we really do? We only compare two pains and say this pain is lesser than the other pain, so it is pleasure. That is what we think. Normally, that's what the thinking is. So, from that point, lower pain seems to be pleasurable compared to a higher pain. That's what we attribute as pleasure. So, Krishna says, worldly pleasure is itself a misnomer. There is nothing like pleasure at all. Worldly pleasure is by itself is a misnomer. It is like a beggar who goes through a dumpster. Right? Every day he goes to the dumpster to collect this, then that, all. One day what he found half a laddu he got. One person might be a diabetic, he didn't want to eat the full laddu. He put half a laddu in the dumpster. For him, what a day, blessed day I got, right? I got half a laddu today. He never ate a laddu. For him, that is pleasure. Right? That's what he did. So it is his pleasurable experience. Today he thinks it is Swargaloka for him. Because he got something very nice to him, very dear, what he likes. So Krishna says, all these things are only relative. They are only comparative. So samsparsha jaha bhogaha. That's what he calls them. These are all not blank statements he makes. We can all experiment it actually in our day-to-day life itself. Every day also we can, you know, do all these things. So Krishna is making a very, very solid, very truthful statement here about the worldly experiences. He says, bhogaha. Bhogaha means all pleasures. All the pleasures which are samsparsha jaha, but out of contact. Sparsha is contact, samsparsha jaha means the one that is born out of contact. So all those pleasures that are born out of contact, contact between what? Krishna does not say that here. We have to understand contact between sense objects and sense organs. All the sense objects in the world and the sense organs, the contact between them. So indriya, vishaya, samsparsha jaha. The one that is contact between the indriyas and the vishayas, all such bhogas are what? Dukkha, dukkha yonaya evate. There are only sources of dukkham. So whatever pleasure or whatever sukham you think that came out of the contact between all these vishayas and your indriyas, they are nothing but sources of sorrow only. You think it is pleasure, but they are source of sorrow only. All such bhogas are dukkha yonai evate, only source of sorrow. Yoni means actually womb. Yoni means womb. Here it is the source. It's the cause. The karma. That's the karma. Actually, this was mentioned actually in the Kathopanishad. Actually, when we did Kathopanishad lecture, we told that. What? Shobhava, Martyasyam, Yatantakaitatim, Sarvendriyana, Jarayanti Tejaha. That is what we said at that time. Because the sense organs and the mind, they lose the capacity to enjoy after some time. The sense organs and the mind. Sense organs, you know, after some time eye doesn't work, ear doesn't work. So whatever pleasure you had through hearing is lost anymore because ear don't work. After some time, they lose the capacity to enjoy after some time because its energy gets zapped. The power to hear is gone. Power to see is gone. That energy is zapped. So if you keep watching TV for a long time, you may lose the eyesight. Possible. All those things are possible. So ears will not, you know, will, with excess music, ears may be spoiled, stomach with excess food will be spoiled. So sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. It saps the energy and the person grows older faster than normal. When at 50 he looks like 70. Because of what? Whatever you put in, either by food or hearing or seeing, all those things have taken a toll on his health. So the person at 40 looks like 70, 60. So this is what happens. So and Shankara, he writes in his commentary, Dharma, Yasha, Prajna, Virya, Sarva, Apakarha. He calls all of them after some time. He does not mind even going through immoral methods. This person doesn't mind even going through immoral methods because of what? His craving for those pleasures increases. Because he has been so much acclimatized with the Vishayananda, his craving has increased so much, so this person loses all of them also. And not only that, even if his energy is not lost, after some time, the objects deteriorate. Right? His energy, okay, he has full energy, he did all the yoga, everything, he has a lot of practice. But what happens? The objects, there is wear and tear for those objects. So they lose, they become wear and tear, problems are there with the objects. This person loses his capacity to enjoy, all those things can happen. So either the object goes or the instrument goes. That is my instrument, hearing instrument, my seeing instrument, my smelling instrument, that goes, or the object itself goes. So even if both don't go, both of them are healthy and nice, what happens? The contact goes away. The contact goes away because I cannot be in contact with a certain thing all the time. That is law of nature. You cannot be permanently in contact with anything. So either separation between two or destruction of one or both. So this always happens. So you are going to be in a position to lose that joy. Not only that, more pleasurable the object is, more is the competition for that object. For that pleasure. Right? More pleasure, more competition. For example, you go to, you know, if in summertime, Kaushik is there, we go to, what is this place, a great adventure. So everybody is very hot, going all around. The water rides, you go there, you have to stand in line for 1 mile, nearly. So long line. After a long line, maybe during that you might do only 2 rides, if you stand on such lines. So you want to wait for 1 hour, 2 hours. The competition is more for that, because that sukkam everybody wants, going in the water ride in summer. The competition is also more for that sukkam, because sense objects are limited and the demand is more. So competition is there, you may lose the contact, or your indriyas may fail, or the object itself may deteriorate, all these problems are there. We don't think of any of those things when we think the pleasure, right? We think it gives me pleasure. So the number and amount are both more for an object which is perceived to be giving more pleasure. So competition, all this competition, again, raga, dvesha, hitting, fighting, all those things will happen, right? You stand in the line for so long, some guy, either by mistake or something, came in, that's it, everybody immediately took such a big rage. So all those things happen. So because, again, for what? The thing is limited. So Krishna asked, tell me, where is the pressure at all? So Krishna is asking the question, where do you think there is pressure at all in this entire process? There is really no pressure. It is just like the dog. What it does? It fights for the leaf thrown. Somebody ate the food in a banana leaf and throw the leaf, right? The dog is eating the leaf. All the time it is conscious of what? It's the neighboring dog coming and competing with that. It is always looking all around before it cannot even eat for 1 second without any pain. Because always it is afraid some other dog might come as a competition to that. So it can never enjoy because its mind is afraid of the other dog, right? Similarly, I am frightened that this will go away because I know these are all perishable. So whatever I think is the sukham, it will go away one day because I know its nature. So Krishna says, where does a person really enjoy sense pleasure at all? Right? That is the question he asks. So dukkha yonaya evate. They are all wombs are the source of sorrow only. And even if you say they are sources of pleasure, okay, somebody wants to argue, no, they are only sources of pleasure. According to Krishna, they are not. There is only one source of pleasure in the entire world, he says, that is Atma only. So Krishna summarily discounts all pleasures arising out of sense contacts. He calls them, they are not pleasure, they are only source of dukkham, sorrow. That's what he says. So, atma binnam sarvamapi dukkha hetuhu eva. That's what he says. That is the final view, that the worldly pleasure does not exist at all. If he exists at all, it is a misnomer. According to Krishna, worldly pleasure is a misnomer. And he says, assuming that the worldly pleasure exists, what is that? Adi antavantaha kaunteya. They are all born out of contact and so they have a beginning. Adi. All the sense pleasures, they came out of contact. Before the contact, there was no pleasure. So as long as the contact exists, there is pleasure perhaps. So there is an adi, there is a beginning, and they are also antaha. That will also end after some time. So because they are all samstarsha jaha. We already told what is samstarsha jaha. They are all born out of contact with the world. So antamantaha, they have also ending and they also have beginning. Adi they have got and antaha, they also antamantaha. And so what you call worldly pleasure, it is not really pleasure at all. And even if there is a pleasure, it is a beginning and it has an end. It is not permanent. And end is going to be even more miserable. And that is what we have to understand. The end is going to be, so the higher the pressure, the more miserable the end is going to be. That also we should understand. So even before the end comes, what comes? The fear of end comes. Right? I'm going to lose it after 2 days. That comes. That is killing this person for those 2 days. And really that goes away also. So all these things are going to be there. So fear of death increases actually as the person grows old. Right? All these things happen. So, and missing them is going to be very, very difficult. So living in an AC room, for example, a fan will not give similar happiness. You are in an AC room, fan is not going to be similar. And living with fan, without fan is not going to be happy at all. So this is going to be the problem. So after those pleasurable conditions, when they go away, I am going to be extremely miserable. And so Krishna says, Buddha teshu ramate na. Buddha, the wise people. The wise people, what they do? They do not revel in such pleasures at all. Ramate na. They do not revel in such pleasures at all. Indirectly, what does it mean? Whoever goes after them. He says, the wise people don't, they are not happy about this. That means what? Whoever goes after them, they are not wise people, they are fools. That's what Krishna says, right? So Krishna indirectly hits Arjuna. Anyone for that matter, not only Arjuna, in this context Arjuna, but anyone for that matter. What does intelligent person mean? Does it mean a jnani? What we say is, it's not, jnani is not even necessary here. It's an intelligent person. He can be a good karma yogi. Even a karma yogi, who is what? Nityan, anityan, vastu viveki. The one who can understand, a karma yogi, even as a sadhaka. The one who is a viveki, the person who understands even that, he will even not enjoy them. Because you know they are all ephemeral. So he will not even enjoy them. Because as one of the sadhana, chaturthaya sampatti, this person has got what? Vairagya, dispassion. Because he has got, he is not going to enjoy that also. He doesn't have to be a jnani. A person can be a karma yogi, that is adequate. So, pariksha lokan, karma chitan, vivveda maraya. So, to know the defect of sense pleasures, Atmajnanam is not necessary. That we have to understand here. Just to know the limitation of sense pleasure, Atmajnanam is not required. Some common sense is enough. Common sense is enough. So, Vishaya Sukeshu, Doshas Darshanartham, Vivekaha Yeva, Apekshitaha, Natu, Atmajnanam. So, just to understand that, one doesn't have to have Atmajnanam, it's a little bit common sense, by understanding the Dosha Darshana. If you know the defect of those pleasures, that is adequate. Even Viveka is not that much necessary. Experience itself is enough. Day-to-day experience is enough because it puts us through a lot of learning process. A few experiences will teach us that Vishaya Sukham is Dukkha Yoni only, is only the source of all Dukkha. Buddha. Buddha means even a Viveki does not enjoy what to talk about a Jnani. Even a Viveki, a person who with some common sense, who is a Viveki, even that person will not enjoy going to talk about a jnani. A jnani will certainly not go after them. And so coming back to our original question, we cannot say Atma Sukham and Anatma Sukham are the same. So Krishna goes through all these arguments just to establish Atma Sukham is all the time most superior compared to Anatma Sukham. A person who goes after Anatma Sukham has no Sukham at all. And a person who has got Atma Sukham, he has got all Sukhams. That is called enjoy. In Tamil we call yen means mine, right? Yes. Enjoy. It's my joy. All the time joy. I enjoy. It's my joy. My means Atmani. Right? Source of happiness is Atma. It is not external. It is enjoy. So that's what he says.
Shaknoti haiva yasodum.
Shaknoti haiva yasodum. Shaknoti haiva yasodum.
Prakshadira vimokshanat.
Prakshadira vimokshanat. Prakshadira vimokshanat.
Shaknoti haiva yasodum. Prakshadira vimokshanat.
Shaknoti haiva yasodum. Prakshadira vimokshanat. Shaknoti haiva yasodum. Prakshariravimokshanat.
Kamakrododbhavam vegam.
Kamakrododbhavam vegam. Kamakrododbhavam vegam.
Sayuktasa sukhinaraha.
Sayuktasa sukhinaraha. Sayuktasa sukhinaraha.
Kamakrododbhavam vegam. Sayuktasa sukhinaraha.
Kamakrododbhavam vegam. Sayuktasa sukhinaraha. Kama krododbhavam vegam sayuktasya sukhinaraha.
So this sloka is also talking about the sadhana vairagya. Again vairagya is talked about here. But Krishna puts it in a different way. One has to give up kama and krodha necessarily if Vedanta has to bless the person. If Vedanta has to come to him, but the prerequisites are what? Kama and krodha have to go away. Right? So that's what he is telling that. To the extent kama krodha is less, to that extent we can see the benefit of atmajnana. So kama krodha is less, not afterwards, right here and now. It's not something that you want to wait for 70, 80, 90. Write whatever time you realize this. Just to go after that, write that. Less than the degree of Kama Krodha, more the Atmananda, more the blessing of Vedanta can be felt. That's what Krishna says. And if you have to get the full benefit, Kama Krodha should first go away. Fully have to go. Now, if it has to go, there is no choice because Krishna puts it like a law for Kama Krodha to go away. He puts it like a rule. Unless you have it, this cannot happen. So this is not a new thing that Krishna is talking about here. He had already emphasized this in the earlier chapters, third chapter particularly we saw that. Even for practicing Karma Yoga, Krishna prescribes what? Kama Krodha Varjanam. That is the removal of Kama and Krodha. Krishna has already prescribed it earlier. Karma Yoga itself requires giving up these two. Then what to talk of Jnana Yoga? Even for Karma Yoga, you need to get these things out. For Jnana Yoga, definitely they should be out. Actually, Arjuna talked about the third chapter, what he said. Kama Yesha, Krodha Yesha, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidyanamiha Varivina. He already spoke that earlier. So, the greatest enemy in the path of Vedanta is these two, Kama and Krodha. So, Krishna says here, Yaha, Kama Krodhodbhavam Vegam Sodum Shaknoti. That's what he says. That person, Yaha, who is capable of restraining the impulse of Kama and Krodha. Right? Vegam. Vegam means impulse. That is the impulse. The fit, you know, it's like in a fit of anger. So it is that Vegam. The person who is overpowered by that Vegam, that fit, exactly the same way, this impulse also at that moment completely overpowers this person, the impulse. It overpowers the impulse of Krodha, anger or Kama. Overpowers the person and he does not know what he does because it overpowers him. He is blinded. He may even damage to such an extent, he may have to regret the entire life. People might do it because of anger, they can do all that. That is why Krishna uses the word Vegam. He could have used any other word, but he uses the word Vegam because the impulse born out of Kama and Krodha could be that severe. And there is another reason also, because Krishna is using this expression. As a sadhaka, I can reduce Kama Krodha to the minimum most extent possible. Right? As a sadhaka, I can try to minimize it. But I can never wipe out Kama Krodha completely without Atmajnana. I can minimize it. I cannot completely remove them because I am still a sadhaka. I am not still a jnani yet. I am still only a sadhaka. So by my intelligence, by my viveka shakti, Kama Krodha can be reduced. Whenever anger comes, you can put a break. Hey, don't get angry. When you overcome greed or something comes, you can put a break. But still it is there. It may come in some other form, some other time later. You have not got it completely. So that is, external expressions are completely gone perhaps. My expression of anger externally is I could minimize and maybe I might even remove it completely. But internally also it may come. I may feel like shouting sometimes. Internally. But when that feeling comes to shout, I may tell myself, no, don't shout. So externally you are suppressed. But internally that sthayi bhavam is still there. Still I may think, oh, I have to shout. I get angry with people. All those things, hatred, all those things can be there internally. So this external expression may not be there, but internally it can be there. So I know I am not supposed to get angry. It is neither good for me nor for the other person also. I know all that. But it comes almost like a volcano and it subsides. Sometimes it happens. People get angry for no reason. They just do that. Right? But the anger comes till it does not continue for long perhaps. It doesn't, but it bothers me at least for that time. Similarly, Kama also does the same thing. So I can bring them to the minimum most level. That is what Krishna said in the second chapter. Rasavarjam rasopyasyam param drishtva nivartate. He told actually earlier in the second chapter. So some small amount will be still remaining. It is not completely removed because Atmajnana has not come yet. Right? That's what you have to understand. Then how will it go? That portion we cannot directly eliminate at all that easily. That portion that is remaining, that cannot be eliminated at all. So Vedanta becomes more and more assimilated, then it will get slowly erased. So you can minimize by telling yourself, suggesting to yourself, you should not get angry, you should not get greed, all those you can do by minimizing. But whatever little is left, that can be removed only when Vedanta goes in, not until then. So that is the time we have to make a very straight effort to understand Vedanta and try to remove this kind of botherations, afflictions from my mind. So in the initial part of sadhana is what? Is the reduction of kamakrodha. Initial part of sadhana and later part of sadhana is jnanam, which will wipe out kamakrodha completely. That is how the step should be. So the one who restrains the force of kamakrodha, when sharira vimokshanad, before the fall of the body, before the body falls, before he dies, before the fall of the body, means what? In this life itself, this is one meaning actually. And Shankaracharya, he writes another meaning, that he has to be alert till the fall of the body. The person has to be alert till the fall of the body. Means he should be alert every second that kama krodha should not enter. I should not exercise kama and krodha. Any time, the person should be alert all the time. Even for small, small things, people get frustrated. Because egos, these things. Oh, I am so and so. Who are you to tell? Ego is the problem everywhere. So we get angry for small things. There is no need at all to get angry. But anger is a virtue. You have to understand that. You know, when I say these things, you should be clear. Because in Chamakam, Manyus Chame, the prayer is, I want to get anger. Manyu is a virtue. You want to get anger when? When you have to deploy your position of responsibility. To enforce the position of responsibility, sometimes you have to get anger. But the anger will result in good. It is not anger because of ego. It is anger because of Janaka was the king. He was an Atmajnani. But when there is a culprit, he has to punish him. He cannot say, I am Atmajnani, he is also Chaitanya, I am also Chaitanya, let him go. He cannot do that because you are living in society. Loka Sangraha is important at that time. So he has to deploy anger also. So they are important. So this person cannot be loose-minded. He has to be alert all the time. Because if a person practices this for an year or two, 1 or 2 years, he practices that, he will certainly find that there is a change in his personality.
So that's not considered as a growth,
right? Which is not growth?
The virtue of the good, correcting people for good things.
Yeah, it's a virtue only. Okay. Because you need to deploy that. But it depends on how you deploy that. Okay. You need to have it. So this person is not affected by kama krodha, and the tendency will be to lose them also slowly. It is not like that. You know, alertness is not necessary throughout the life. The person has to be alert throughout the life. It's not someday, one day you can be alert. So, kama krodha are not between 20 years and 30 years or 30 years and 40 years. It can be any time. Till death, people can have kama krodha. So, one can try to minimize it. So, these two will affect a person till the last breath. They can be there. And so, there is no time when a person can be relaxed at all from this alertness. You cannot say, I can be relaxed today. So, let kama krodha, I minimize my thing. No problem. You have to be alert 24 hours because you do not know from which direction, from which door, that source of anger or greed would come. You should be always alert. That is why a person should never be relaxed with respect to kama and krodha. So the one who conquers these two before the fall of the body, before he dies, then he has a scope for gaining jnana. Then he can become a jivan mukta. And also after this he becomes a videha mukta. Moksha is possible. So before the fall of the body. Once the body falls, if he has not got it again, punarabhi, jananam, punarabhi, maranam, he has to go through again the same cycle of birth and death. He has to go through that. So, saha yuktaha, such a person alone is a man of self-control. Self-control, man of integration, yuktaha. The one who is harmonious. The person who is integrated personality. So, if these two are not there, let him study any number of Gitas. Let him attend any number of Gita lectures, any amount of Upanishads, doesn't do any good to that person at all. Because he has not changed. This person still is the same rut because this never had made any dent in him. This person has been always like that. So, these are the two basic things which most people neglect. And Saha Sukhi, he alone can be happy. Sukhi, he is alone. Person who is called a Sukhi, because as long as kama krodha are there, even you go to a temple to have darshanam, the guy who is standing in front of you are angry with him. You are in the temple. You think that Lord is limited only to the 2-feet vigraha. That's what you think. So if the guy is in front of you are already angry with him. Or he had a darshanam once more, you get angry with him. This is what happens. Somebody gets teertham ahead of you, you get angry with him. A guy got one more apple, you get angry with him.
He got one more apple. People put importance to these, all these mundane things. Even when they stand before the Lord, they have come to the temple to worship the Lord. Mind doesn't evolve at all. Because for them, sorrow is there everywhere. Sorrow, they invite sorrow. Sorrow, come, come, knock at my door. If sorrow is going someday, no, no, don't go, come. So this is how people are. So we have to be alert all the time. So even God cannot give me ananda because in front of God I am angry. I don't worship Him with the peaceful mind. I worship Him with pieces of mind. That's what I do. Right? So any other sadhana can bless me only when I can take care of these two culprits, the kama and krodha, who are within. So sasuki naraha, he alone can be happy human being, such a person alone. Or some commentator, he says, he alone can be a human being. See, it's not that he alone can be a happy human being, that person alone is a human being. Right? All others are animalistic attitudes. So even though he is in human frame, it's only human frame, not a human at all. That's what some commentators put it. So others are like animals, they are like brutes under the control of these two impulses, the greatest enemies to anybody. Kama and krodha and all the derivatives of them. So they are all instinctive people, not discriminatory people at all. Yontas sukontara ramaha.
Yontas sukontara ramaha. Yontas sukontara ramaha.
Tatat jyotirevayaha.
Tatat jyotirevayaha. Tatat jyotirevayaha.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Sayogi brahma nirvanam.
Brahma bhuto digacchati.
Brahma bhuto digacchati. Brahma bhuto digacchati.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhuto digacchati.
Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhuto digacchati. Sayogi brahma nirvanam. Brahma bhuto digacchati.
Now in the next three slokas, 24, 25 and 26, Krishna talks about the phala, the benefit of Atmajnana, what one attains by gaining Atmajnana, which is in the form of Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti. While he is alive, he is Jivan Muktaha, he gets Mukta. And after he dies, the body falls, he also gets Videha Mukti. So Jivan Muktaha is that person who knows I am Brahman. He knows completely. He is the one with Brahman. He is one with Brahman. But still, because of Prarabdha, his body continues with him. His body is there because Prarabdha has not ended. So still he has his human body. That will not go away unless Prarabdha ends. But till he knows he is evolved person, so he is Jivan Muktaha. So since the body continues, we call him a Jiva. As long as the body continues, we call that person a jiva, right? Jiva. At the same time, the body does not bind this person. When he is a jivan muktaha, the body does not bind him, it does not limit him, he is called a muktaha. It doesn't bind him at all, it is not limiting him. So, he is alive because of prarabdha only, and he is muktaha because he is not affected by that prarabdha. So when we call it Jivan Muktaha, he is alive because of Prarabdha, body still continues, but he is still Muktaha because the body doesn't bind him. Body means doesn't bind him, punya papas don't affect him, that's what it means. Like it's like a lotus leaf in water. Lotus leaf is in water, but water doesn't wet it. That is how it is. But it is as though they are not there together. Even though the water and lotus leaf are, because they are together, it appears as if they are not together because the water cannot wet the leaf at all. Similarly, the jnani and prarabdha, he is living because there he is in the midst of water, the lotus leaf is there. So he is also living in prarabdha but doesn't wet him. At the same time, prarabdha cannot affect him, so he is muktaha. So when the prarabdha is over, what happens? The body has to fall. The person has to die. When the prarabdha is over, he will die. And since this particular body is gone, from the standpoint view of the particular body, we call him Videha Muktaha also, because this body is gone. So we call, for the Jnani, he has no nothing like Jivan Mukti or Videha Mukti for the Jnani. We call him, because we have been seeing the body so far,
the body is no more, so we think he is Videha Muktaha also. And actually we should remember that both these names, Jivan Mukta and Videha Mukta, both the names are from the standpoint of view of what? Of the physical body only. We have to understand that clearly. From the physical body alone, which is given by whom? By the Ajnanis. These names are given by Ajnanis. They say, oh, he is Jivan Mukta. He is Videha Mukta. The Ajnanis say that. As far as Jnani is concerned, Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti are one and the same. Once we are a Jivan Mukta and Videha Mukta, so they are only same. One and the same as far as the Jnani is concerned. And why they are only the same? Because when the Jnani knows he is Brahman, the Jnani knows he is Brahman because he has got Atma-Jnanam, he knows that all bodies are existing in that Brahman only. The Jnani knows all bodies exist in that Brahman only because he has got Brahma-Jnanam. And at the end of Prarabdha, it is not just only this body. For a Jnani, it is not only just this body, all bodies, they are all in the Brahman only. And at the end of the Prarabdha, not that all bodies are going away, only this body goes away. At the end of my Prarabdha, only this body goes away, but the Jnani knows in Brahman, all bodies are in the Brahman. So this body only goes away, other bodies are still there. Right? That Jnani knows that. So, and other bodies are existing in me because he knows I am Brahman. So this body has gone, but all other bodies are also existing in me because I am Brahman. The Jnani knows that thing. And I will never say, I am free from body because I am not having one body with me. There are so many bodies because I am Brahman. I am Chaitanyam. Everything is in me. That's what I know. So in fact, I am the Brahman in which all bodies arise, all bodies exist and all bodies perish. And that is what Atma-Jnanam is. And the Jnani knows it completely. We all know it from book. We are not Jnani because we said the statement, we are not Jnanis. Jnani knows it spontaneously, it is him. He knows that very well. I never talk about my condition from the standpoint of your one body. It is the ignorant people, the Ajnanis, who look at me from the standpoint of the body. That's what the Jnani knows. But Jnani says, how do you say I am Videha or Sadeha from the standpoint of one body? I am Brahman in whom all bodies exist. That's the Jnani. So, all the Sadeha and Videha make no sense to the Jnani because it doesn't concern him at all. And I am the Brahman in which all bodies, they are all existing as Brahman. So, Mayyeva Sakalam Jatam, Mayi Sarvam Pratishtitam, Mayi Sarvam Layam Yati. We already saw those verses earlier. At the same time, even though all bodies rise, exist and set in me, which laya in me, I am not affected by the rise and fall. The Jnani knows. All bodies rise in me, they exist in me, and they also fall. But I am not affected by any one of them. I am ever free from body. What is rising and falling and sustaining, they are all only anatma, shariram. But I, the Chaitanyam, Shuddha Atma, it is not affecting me in any way. Just as the screen, for example, you put some picture on the screen. On the screen, so many things happen. Do they ever affect the screen? No. They are all on the screen. So, the screen is not affected by any of them. But you see all those pictures there, good pictures, bad pictures, violent pictures, everything you see. But they don't affect the screen at all. The same way, all these bodies do not affect me at all. That the Jnani knows. Any number of people appear and disappear. Any number of bodies appear and disappear. All bodies exist in me as all pictures exist on the screen. Right? And so, he does not bother about the existence of this one body. Also, all bodies exist in me because I am Chaitanya. So this one body, I don't care about that at all, or the disappearance of this body also. So Jnani doesn't affect him at all. So how many bodies are appearing and disappearing in me? What does it matter whether this body appears or disappears? It has been happening all the time. It has been happening all the time in Chaitanya. Everything is all Chaitanya. All appear in me, but I am not affected by none. That is what the Jnani knows. This is called Mukti. When you have that knowledge, that is called Muktihi, which is only one. That is, Mukti is only one. But since the ignorant people look upon Jnani from the standpoint of his body, physical body only, they refer to him so-and-so, Jivan Muktaha, Videha Muktaha, and all those things they put, they with a particular dress, a particular age, they associate all these with the Anatma, the body. So they call all these things about the Jnani.
For example, when I say Shankaracharya, what do I say? We think of his body alone. Shankaracharya should be sitting with this pose. You know, he has like this, you know, this mudra. All that, you know, you should be like that with a, you know, hair shaven and with all these things. That is what I imagine immediately. Right? That's what we think of what? Ramana Maharshi, we think of the body. We don't think of them as Chaitanya at all. We think of them as body. So we say Ramana also, he was there, he is not there. We say all those things. We say all those things because of the body. Shankara was there, Shankara is not there now. All those things. So from the standpoint of ignorant people, mukti is divided into two. One is called the Jivan Mukti and another is called Viveka Mukti. That is what is going to be talked about here from this shloka. And while talking about this mukti, Krishna incidentally talks about the definition of a jnani also. When he talks about mukti, he gives the definition of jnani also. Here the first line talks about the jnani. Who is a jnani? Yaha antaha sukaha. The one who is happy with himself. Yaha antaha sukaha. That is the one whose happiness does not come from any outside source at all. He is a jnani. He is not born out of external people, external objects or external conditions. That is a jnani whose sukham doesn't depend on any of those things. And antaha. Antaha means Atmani Sukham Yasya. The Sukham comes only from his Atma. Atmani Sukham Yasya, such a person. And how is he happy within himself? Because the person who is laughing sometimes, he is happy. He is laughing. What we call him? We call him a lunatic. Right? Is he a mad person? No. When people smile without any reason, what do we conclude? We conclude him something is Dimag Kharab. Right? That's what we say. Must be the case for him. Even the scriptures say about great jnanis are like that. Ramate bala unmattavad eva. Unmattavad. Unmattavad is like a madman. Ramate, this person, he is happy like a mad person. Right? That's what it says. Even scriptures say. So from this angle, the jnani is compared to a unmattaha, a mad person. Even scriptures say that. Because a madman also, without any reason, he will laugh, he will cry. He will do all the things without any reason, right? He will enjoy. Jnani also is happy without any external reason. He is just happy. So, unless there is an external reason, we think you cannot be happy, right? He is happy. So, he is pretty mad, right? So, remember, Shankaracharya does not say he is unmattaha, but he says unmattavat eva. Like a madman. He doesn't say he is a madman. Unmattavat, the one who is like a madman. That means he is not mad, right? So why is he happy within himself? The reason is given here, not due to madness, but due to wisdom. Antaha aramaha. Due to wisdom. Because for the jnani, the source of happiness is within. It is not anything external. So he is not happy out of madness, but because of Atma Darshanam. He has Atma Darshanam, he has discovered the inner source of joy. That's what the jnani has done. So, aramaha. Aramaha literally means like a garden. A place where you relax. The gardens. You know, where people, they go there to relax, right? They enjoy it. So, asamantat ramaha, ramanam yasmin aramaha. So, the one that is where people relax, right? The place where one finds happiness. So, even though a garden is named so, it's a place where people relax and be happy, people need not get happiness there. You go to a garden, you can still be crying. You will be thinking about all the things. That guy did something wrong to me. This guy spoke to me like this in the office. Think of all that. So even if you go to a place of relaxation, you think about all these things and get bothered, get angered. All those things happen to people, right? They can be worrying there also in a garden, which is supposed to be a place where you have to relax. So there also they can be worried. For a jnani, such a garden is not outside. For all others, they go to an external garden to relax. Whereas for a jnani, he doesn't have to go to an external garden to relax at all. But the very Atma is aramaha for him. The very Atma is the garden for him, where he relaxes all the time. So, ara means relaxation. In the military, you know, attention standard ease, right? That standard ease is the aramaha. That is so you always relax at the time. You are not in that position where you are in attention position, right? So, Antarama means the one whose source of relaxation, the joy or peace resides within Antararama. It resides within. So Atma Eva Aramaha Yasya. Then does it mean when there is any happy occasion outside comes? The Jnani is internally very happy. So some happy occasion comes outside. Jnani will not smile at all. Does it mean that he will show a very wry face? He will look very serious and all that too? Because he is Antararamaha. Internally he is very happy. So external happiness, he is not showing any happiness at all. When someone makes a joke, for example, he will be very tight-lipped. With a problem face kind of thing. Antararamaha. Internally I am happy, right? Not that Jnani will not enjoy a nice joke or a picture or occasion or any such music or any entertainment, but when he enjoys happiness outside, he very clearly knows that happiness does not come from outside. It is a reflection of the happiness from inside. That's what the Jnani knows. Ajnani thinks happiness comes from there, but Jnani knows it is not coming from there. It is only the reflection of my inner happiness that is manifesting, expressing through a particular occasion or the particular contact. That the Jnani knows. He knows it is in joy. It is my joy only. It is not a joy coming from outside. That the Jnani knows every time. So every external object or a nice occasion, they are only like mirrors. They are only like mirrors. When I look at the mirror and look at my beautiful face and body, whatever it is, what do I enjoy? Right? Mirror doesn't have my face. What I look in the mirror is my face. The mirror shows my face. I look at the face and I'm happy. Mirror has no face of mine at all by itself. Right? So the Jnani knows every such enjoyment is only a reflection of his own happiness. It is not that happiness comes from some external thing. It is his own happiness expressed through some other object or some other condition. Outside people think, I am getting pleasure from the mirror looking out. That's what people think. When you look at the mirror, people think I get happiness by looking at the mirror. They don't have you at all. Therefore, the joy does not come from the mirror, but from the face, which is my own face. Similarly, whether it is a music or dance or whatever it is, or a joke or a friend or a relationship or a nice occasion, all are like mirrors. Every occasion is like a mirror only. When the mind is quite terminal, when the mind is calm, Atma Ananda manifests in that mind. So first request is mind should be quiet. It should be without any wavering. Then it can reflect. Therefore, Jnani does not attribute any external pressure to the external object. He attributes all pressures to himself. That's what the Jnani does. Then what is the role of external objects at all? Right? They are there. There's some role for them. They are there. Right? They just help in the manifestation of the inner Ananda. That's all they do. They help in the manifestation of the inner Ananda just as a mirror does not produce a face. It only reflects the face that I already have. So they cannot produce any ananda or anything themselves. It only reflects. They only serve as a medium to reflect. But it has got a nice surface to reflect my own form. That's what it does. So, Vishayanande Atmanandaha. In all the Vishayanandas, Atmananda only you see. Yogarande Atmanandaha. All yogas, you see only Atmananda. And the Sangeetanande Atmanandaha. Coffee Anande, Atmananda. Every Ananda we see in life, all Anandas are Atmananda only. Now, coffee Ananda doesn't come from coffee. Coffee Ananda comes from Atmananda only. That is what I should understand. Every Ananda is Atmananda only. They are not from any other Vishayas. So, a Jnani, he remembers this all the time. Ajnani doesn't remember this. Ajnani doesn't know this. Jnani remembers this all the time. So, that's why he is like that. And because of that, what is his advantage? Okay, Jnani knows this. What is his advantage? The advantage is, if I attribute the Ananda to the external person, what do? I get attached to that person. I already spoke about attachment and love. The moment I get Ananda, if I think Ananda comes from X or Y, or some object, I attach to that object, to that person. What I will conclude? To get Ananda, that person, that condition, that object is required. That's what I will contribute. Because I attribute to that. I get attached to that.
And when the person is gone, I will conclude Ananda is gone. The person is gone, I think pleasure is gone. And then I will run after that person. Or I will run after the object. Or run after the situation, whatever it is, music. As far as Jnani is concerned, when there is nice music, he will enjoy it, no problem at all. Remembering that it is his own Ananda. That Jnani knows. Music is there, he will enjoy it. Not that he is going to shut up. He will enjoy it, but he knows it is his own Ananda only. And when the music is gone, he never concludes Ananda is gone. The medium that reflected Ananda is gone. That he knows. He will never say Ananda is gone. The same happiness in another occasion also will express itself in the same way. So even if no such other condition comes, he knows that he is not sorrowful at all. He has no sorrow at all. My happiness is in unmanifest form. That's what he will think. When there is no condition, there is no music or whatever it is, what he will think? My happiness is in unmanifest form now. When there is your music, happiness manifests. So happiness is always there. Sometimes it manifests because of conditions, relations, all those occasions. Sometimes it is unmanifest. But happiness is always there. When the mirror is gone, my face is not gone. It is still there all the time. I don't see my head, but I know. I can vouch, I have my head. Right? Do I have to look at a mirror only to say I have a head? I don't have to look at a mirror to say I have a head. My head is always there. I don't need a mirror at all for that. But when I look at it, I'm happy. Sometimes, many times I'm happy, there are so many grey hairs you are. You see them facing the mirror, right? I don't see my... So similarly, I don't express my joy when there is no occasion. Even though I don't express, I need not run after them because aham Atmananda Swarupaha Asmi. Right? I am of the nature of Atmananda. This is called Antararamaha. So we told all this for explaining Antararamaha. What does it mean? Right? Okay. Similarly, Antarjyotihi Eva. Antarjyotireva. Literally, Jyoti means light. Jyoti is light. Here the light refers to the consciousness. Consciousness of self-knowledge. Light refers to that knowledge. And Antarjyotihi, the one whose knowledge is ever turned within. For this person, his knowledge is always turned within, ever established in the Atma, the consciousness. So his vision, his knowledge is always turned within, established in Atma. So he is an Atmanishtaha, not Anatmanishtaha, Atmanishtaha. Anatmanishtaha is the one who is established in his body. He is Atmanishtaha, he is Antarmukaha and not Bahirmukaha. He is already turned within, such a person. So the one whose consciousness is turned within, and here also we should remember another point. In all the three, the word Antaha means within, right? Whenever you use the word within, there also we should ask another question. From what standpoint it is within? Yeah, this question also might come. The word within is meaningless if you don't have the reference point. Within with respect to what, right? Suppose I ask the question, there's a big stage in a dasasya. There's a big stage. And I sit on the stage, others are sitting on the floor. So when I say somebody is within, that within is with respect to what? With respect to the room, they are within. With respect to the stage, they are without. There's a big stage, they can be on the stage. So they can be within the stage. So unless you specify where they are, whether it is within, without, it can mean differently unless you give the reference points to that. So here also there should be a reference point is needed, right? So if all these expressions, when Krishna uses the word antaha, from what standpoint he is meaning, that we have to understand. And many people mistake that the standpoint is physical body. They think that Krishna talks about from the standpoint of physical body, which is not true. Because if we conclude that Jnani's vision is within the body, yes, when we say turned within, if you say Jnani's vision is within the body, it will mean that Jnani has to ever remain what? Closing his eyes only. Because the vision is within. If you open my eyes, vision is out. So if I have vision within, which is a physical body, it should be always closed. He can never open his eyes. He has ever vision within. Right?
That is why we get the confusion that every jnani should sit in what? Nirvikalpa samadhi. These are all terms people use in Vedanta. He is in nirvikalpa samadhi, savikalpa samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi. All are misconceptions. We think all his sense organs should be closed. They should be all shut. All sense organs should be shut because he is antarmukha. Right? He is turned within, so all of them should be shut off. That is also wrong. In Vedanta, we never say that jnani should close his eyes at all. We never say jnani. That is why even in pictures they will put a half shut eye. You know, when Shiva is showing in meditation, it won't be completely closed, it will be half shut. Some small gap will be there. Just to, you know, say that, you know. So in the fifth chapter itself, we saw Pashyan, Sprishan, Jigran, Ashnan, all those things we saw. He is doing all this. But he is still turned within. In spite of seeing all this world, he is transacting with the world, he is doing everything in the world, but still turned within. He is free to do all vyavaharas, all transactions arising out of organs of action, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, all vyavaharas, he is engaged in all of them. He need not sit in nirvikalpa samadhi at all, person need not do any of those, but he can be still antarmukaha, he can be still turned within. That's what he said here. How can I do that without closing my eyes? How can I be turning within? Right? All these problems will be solved only when we if you understand that the word antaha is from the standpoint of atma and not the body. Antaha is from the point of view of atma, consciousness, and not of the body. And bahihi means nama rupa or anatma. So antaha from the standpoint of atma and bahihi refers to anatma from the body. So even if you close your eyes, if your mind is still absorbed in thoughts, which is anatma, on the other hand, even when I look at all things, vidyagane sampanne brahmane grihasthini shuri chaiva shupakecham pandita akasamadrishnaha vyarnisada. So even the opened eyes, fully opened eyes, this person sees an elephant, a cow, and a brahmana, and a dog eater, one and the same, opening his eyes. He is antarmukaha. Because he is seeing only Chaitanya imminent through all of them. He is not seeing their bodies, he is seeing only Chaitanya in one and through all of them. So if we remember this all the time, even if I look out, I am antarmukaha only. So I don't have to close my eyes and try to look within. I am not looking at my body at all. I am looking at only Chaitanya. I can keep my eyes fully open and I can be still antarmukaha. Right? So if I have got that samadarshana, as was told in the shloka, if I remember eka atmatvam, then I am antarmukaha only. Or to give the example of the wave. Always we come to the same example in Vedanta. To remember the water, the wave need not have to do meditation at all. Wave, to remember that it is water, what it doesn't do, its content is water. Right? Wave has to remember its content. Wave should not concentrate on its shape, on its size. Whether it is so long lived or something, no. Oh, the bank is coming, I am going to die. No. Wave knows all the time I am water. This is only Namarupa. The wave thinks all the time. The wave is antarmukaha only. It is not Bahimukha. If it looks at all the other waves and is absorbed in Namarupa, it is rising, it is setting, then the very same wave has got Bahimukha. So Antarmukha and Bahimukha is only this difference. It is not somebody has to close his eyes and all that. So Antarmukha and Bahimukha is not dependent on closing and opening the eyes. But whether I get lost in Namarupa or not determines that whether I am antarmukha or bahirmukha, right? Namarupa and karma. So such a person who is always turned within, antarmukha, he is a yogi. Saha yogi, ye jnani, ye jnana nishtaha, or brahmi sthiti. We already saw that earlier in the second chapter itself, that shloka. So all these things, these terms we have seen. So the one who practices karma yoga, upasana, sadhana chadushtaya sampanna, shravana manna nidhyasana, all are yogis. All the people are all yogis only. After practicing all of them, the one who is established in Brahman is also yogi. So this we have to understand. One is karma yogi, then jnana yogi, is yogi. So all are yogis only. But we have to qualify what kind of yogi he is. Karma yogi, he is not a jnani yet. He is a good person, that's nice. No problem at all. But he is not a jnani yet. He has to go through still the sravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and then become a jnani. The other three yogis are sadhakas. Whereas this yogi is not a sadhaka at all, he is siddhaha. The person is evolved, he is wise. Otherwise, karma yogi is a sadhaka. He is still evolving. He is still practicing. Whereas this yogi is a siddha purushaha. He is a siddha yogi. And here the word yogi refers to a siddha. You know, he no more needs to do any one of the sadhanas at all. Even nididhyasana he doesn't have to do. Sravanam, mananam, nididhyasana, and all a person has to do to get there. Once you get there, you don't have to do any more nididhyasana also, because you are already there. There is no need to do anything else also. Right? So, saha yogim brahma bhutaha. He has become one with Brahman. The jnani has become one with Brahman. And this refers to what? Jivan mukti. So, when the jnani refers, he becomes one with Brahman. That is called, he is a jivan mukta. That is jivan mukti. And having been one with Brahman while living, because prarabdha has not ended, he still has the body. So while living, we call him a jivan muktaha. And later what happens? At the end of prarabdha, when the prarabdha ends, brahma nirvanam adigacchati. That refers to videha mukti. This word also has come actually in the second chapter. Yesha brahmi siddhi partha nainam prapyam vimukhyati titvasyam antakalepi brahma nirvanam ucchati. Correct? So, brahma nirvanam adigacchati. Nirvana means merger. Here, nirvana means merger, oneness. This is the solution of the individuality with the total, which is videha mukti. So, this person attains videha mukti also. So, brahma nirvana means what? Brahmani nirvana adhigacchati. The person becomes one with Brahman, and that is called videha mukti. So, when before the prarabdha ended, we called him a jivan muktaha. And once prarabdha ended, when he died, when the body falls, we call him videha muktaha. Both the terms are called by ajnanis, not by the jnani. For a jnani, jivan mukti, videha mukti, they are all, it doesn't matter to him at all. They are all words. For him, he ever revels in atma jnana. Yo vedatau swaram prokto vedante.